have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll free. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku band free-to-air satellite system from ABR. The ABR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Welcome to Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. I hope you had a great day. Woo, we got a great show. We're going to empower you here with health news. You're not going to get anywhere else. We are going to be talking about magnesium deficiency and a health warning there, what that means, because you may have it and not know it yet. Also, we're going to be talking about how to plan against strokes and some information about some powerful plants, some plant power, and some other things if we have time. And we do have a quack report. But I just found out just prior to the show, about 15 minutes ago, Shane Ellison, he is the author of Over-the-Counter Natural Cures. He's agreed to be our guest on October the 6th, so he's going to be with us for that show, of course, here on Herb Talk Live, so do mark your calendars. That'll be a great show. You're going to love the information this guy's got. He's a chemist and a sports health trainer. Oh, he's got it going on. So we're going to be talking with Shane coming up on Herb Talk here on American Voice on 7:30 p.m. on the 6th of October. Also, coming up, as you know, on the 20th, we're going to have Dr. Rebecca Carley here. So she'll be joining us right here in September on the 20th in just a few weeks, so don't miss that interview either. And before I forget, our poll on the Quack Report. Yes, yes, I've had some feedback, y'all, because remember I asked for feedback. Some people don't like the Quackers, some people do, so I wanted to get a consensus. Overall, so far what I'm hearing over the last few days, they call me at Apothecary Herbs to tell me, or they're emailing me, they're saying they like the Quack Report, and some do and some don't like the sound bites. So, Magical Engineer, you and I are going to have to work on some new Quacker sound bites. They don't like the ones we got. So, without further ado, let's do the Quack Report. We'll have to get new sound bites. Okay, what's going on? Hey, new cancer breakthrough. Oh, yes. Scientists discovered some harmless bacteria in dirt kill cancer. That's right. How about that? It's all around us, and we just never knew it, right? Right under our noses. Cancer remains one of the most feared diseases on our planet, and cancer patients, when they're treated with mainstream medicine treatments, usually are bombarded with the radiation and the toxic chemo, and it destroys healthy cells along with the cancer cells, and it tends to weaken the body. And many natural substances have a cancer prevention and treatment potential, including, you know, the Mediterranean diet we've talked about here with the, you know, omega-3 fatty acids, very good to fight prostate cancer. And how about walnuts, which contain some sort of breast cancer preventative polychemical, the plant chemical. So, now here's some evidence now that's just rolling out around some common dirt. There's a spore that's in the dirt, and a research team at the University of Nottingham and the University of Maastricht have found a strain, very harmless bacterial strain, widespread in soil, is actually very deadly against cancerous tumors. It's Clostridium spore. It's a Clostridium spore, and it's a bacterium very common in dirt. And what happens is that when they inject this spore into cancer patients, it only grows in tumors. So what it does is it seeks out the cancerous tumor, and it produces an enzyme, and it activates basically a cancer drug inside the tumor, and this natural bacteria causes the cancer cells to die while it leaves the healthy cells of the body unharmed. So, dirt, folks, get dirty out there. Nice way to get healthy, huh? Okay, Monsanto's in the news here in the Quack Report. Out in the Midwest, you know, the farmers, you know, they kind of bought into the corn, the soy, cotton, Monsanto crops, right? Well, God's got a sense of humor, that's all I can say. Farmers in the big corn states watch in dismay as I speak, as their bug-proofed Monsanto corn is being eaten alive by rootworms. It's a bug. Mm-hmm. The western rootworm beetle, one of the most serious threats to corn, has developed a resistance to the bioengineered Roundup Ready corn crop by Monsanto. Currently, three-fourths of our nation's corn crop is genetically modified. Thousands of farmers in the U.S. wondering if they should switch back to their older methods of pest control, like changing back and forth from corn to soy in their fields each year, because the rootworm beetle feeds only on corn. So if it hatches in a soybean field, it dies. So Monsanto has kind of built their seed empire by focusing on the technology on widely planted crops like corn, soy, and cotton. And large-scale farmers have kind of, you know, with their commodities, have bought into this operation. They have very thin profit margins, so they were jumping at the chance to streamline their operation of farming and kind of farm out the pest control area to Monsanto. But dumping one kind of herbicide into millions of acres of farmland is only going to give rise to super weeds, as they found out, and they're resistant now to herbicides. Monsanto laboratory-created combination of toxic pesticides in their seedling, in the corn, basically can cause eye and skin irritation, dizziness, heart palpitations, salivary lesions, and stomach lining irritation. There was even a 1998 study on mice, and they concluded that the Roundup is able to cause genetic damage, birth defects, and you know, should humans really be eating fruits and vegetables that are genetically spliced with this pesticide? Come on! You know, I think people have just taken a stupid pill out there. Okay, moving along in the Quack Report, British defense company BEA Systems has developed an invisible cloak that can effectively hide vehicles. They can hide a tank, they can hide a cow, you know, just about anything with this infrared spectrum they developed. This is kind of scary. The system is called Adaptive, A-D-A-P-T-I-V, and it uses a matrix of hexagonal pixels that can change their temperature very rapidly. So they use onboard cameras to sweep an area and pick up background scenery and then display that infrared signature on the vehicle. So this allows even moving tanks to be effectively invisible, and the tank skin essentially becomes a big infrared TV, and so they can actually display anything they want on it, including a cow chewing its cud. See, that's all you see is a field and a cow, no tank. So the vehicle blends into the background. Our current system works on the infrared spectrum, which can hide vehicles from heat-seeking missiles, drones, and heat-sensitive goggles. So the BAE system engineers have combined the pixels with other technologies to provide even camouflage. And the system consumes relatively low levels of electricity, generator output pretty low. They're perfecting that stuff. Goodness, it's going to be kind of creepy. Last but not least in the Quack Report, have you ever tried fried bubble gum? I'm sorry I asked that question. You're probably going, excuse me? Well, we're going to the Texas State Fair, where a concoction of pink marshmallow blended with bubblegum extract and then fried in bubblegum batter was named the most creative food by the State Fair of Texas judges. Yes, State Fair Judge Christy Scale says that it's kind of gooey, so parents should bring some handy wipes. You can't blow bubbles with it. Let's just get that right out there. You cannot do that with the fried bubblegum, but it's topped with some blue icing, and it's sprinkled with Chiclets. The entry's creator, Justin Martinez, said that it took him months to figure out how to get the flavor of bubblegum without actually having to fry a piece of bubblegum. And he said it also took him a while to fry it where it wasn't just so oily and greasy. Also, the judges asked some other dishes, buffalo chicken in a flapjack, which was fried buffalo chicken strips coated with flapjack batter and jalapeno crumbs and served with maple syrup. Boy, does that not sound yummy. I'll pass. And that wraps the Quack Report. Okay, we'll have to work on our little quacker sound bites. But first up here, we're going to be talking about magnesium deficiency because talking about, you know, what they were eating at the Texas State Fair, oh my goodness, you may have some heartburn. So let's talk about some magnesium deficiency, which, folks, by the way, is becoming a health warning and epidemic. I got a heads up from a radio listener. I want to give kudos to Danielle, who said, you know, hey, Wendy, you should do a segment of your show on this. So we're doing it. Here we go. Now, magnesium deficiency is also referred to as hypomagnesemia, okay? And magnesium is important, very important to our metabolism. Now, our DNA and the protein synthesis, as well as the neurotransmitters and your hormone receptors, actually depend on magnesium. So magnesium is a cofactor in more than 300 enzymatic reactions in the human body. So according to medical science, magnesium is second in importance to potassium, where our cells are concerned relatively. So we need magnesium for proper transmission of the nerve impulses, for muscular activity, for temperature regulation, for detoxification processes, and bone health. So you're going to find the highest concentrations of magnesium within our cells, the intracellular concentration there. And the most of the magnesium, though, will eventually end up in our bones. So when our magnesium levels declined, you know, all tissue is compromised. And these organs are going to take the biggest hit, your heart, your nerves, and your kidneys. An increasing segment of the population is experiencing low magnesium levels. There seems to be a connection, basically, between certain drugs, the prescription drugs, and magnesium depletion causing disease. So we're going to cover that today, give you a heads up. You may be on one of these drugs, and you may want to get off one of them. Okay, so let's look at the symptoms, because if you become deficient in magnesium, you can become deficient also in calcium. So you could develop sensitivity to noise. You can become nervous and irritable. You can be depressed or confused with a magnesium deficiency. You can develop twitching or trembling, have muscle spasms or cramps, or have apprehension and trouble sleeping. So if muscle spasms develop, you could experience a spasm of the larynx. Can't speak. Other symptoms are loss of appetite, kidney stones, anxiety, and fatigue. Now, the recommended daily allowance for magnesium for men is 420 milligrams, and for women, 320 milligrams per day. And the U.S. Department of Agriculture, they did a survey, and they found 75% of Americans do not absorb through diet the recommended daily allowance of magnesium. So magnesium deficiency has become one of the most common deficient nutrients in the U.S., and poor diet is not the only thing prompting this deficiency. Now, when there is a severe magnesium depletion, depression can progress to suicide, so beware. We need magnesium to calm the brain. And if you have marginal magnesium supplies in the body, those of you out there that say that they have a busy mind and they have trouble powering down to get to sleep, you might want to try more magnesium-rich foods into the diet. And later on here, we're going to talk about a list of such foods in just a few minutes. And also be aware that we did a show on the recommended daily allowance. If you missed it, hit the archives, because the RDA was designed during World War II. It's supposed to be reevaluated every few years, but it hasn't been reevaluated since 2005. So the standards were set during food rationing World War II. So if that gives you an inclination, there you go. Let's talk about your heart. Because you've heard before that the cardiovascular system must have magnesium to function. I know you have. So without it, you increase your risk of arterial sclerosis, that's hardening of the arteries. You increase your risk of high blood pressure, stroke, and even heart attack. So when magnesium drops low, it tends to stiffen the blood vessels. They lose that elasticity. And stiff blood vessels will result in high blood pressure, which stresses the heart muscle, and it can cause the heart muscle to spasm, and it can cause sudden death. A majority of individuals who have died from heart attacks, who had relatively healthy hearts, but they had a magnesium deficiency. I bet you that's shown up on the coroner's report from the toxicity, when the toxicology comes back. Now, magnesium increases your oxygen to your heart and improves the ability of the heart to contract or beat. So that's real important. Now, if you want to reduce your risk of heart disease by 70%, make sure you have the proper balance of magnesium. Well, let's look at some unnecessary exposure, because when you have low magnesium in the body, you expose yourself to heavy metal deposits that accumulate in your brain. Symptoms of Parkinson's disease, Alzheimer's, or even MS may manifest. Osteoporosis, bone fractures, and serious infections, and even hearing loss can also occur. So getting adequate magnesium back into the system can actually reverse these types of symptoms if it is a magnesium deficiency that has prompted it. Okay, let's look at a chain reaction of things, because without your magnesium, without adequate supplies of magnesium in your system, you will also develop an imbalance in your calcium, your phosphorus, and your vitamin C. Now, these are vital nutrients for a healthy nervous system, a healthy muscular system, a healthy skeletal system, and a healthy cardiovascular system. So your system's going to have difficulty, and you're not going to be able to metabolize carbohydrates, fats, or protein properly. Well, there are some drugs on the list, I promise to get to those, that tend to deplete us of magnesium. The prescription drugs that cause the magnesium depletion are the stomach acid drugs. There's about 21 million people that take some kind of digestive drug to get through their day. Now, have you seen the ads for these drugs? They're called the proton pump inhibitors, the PPI. And they're the drugs, you know, as Nexium, Prevacid, Prilosec, and so forth. Even there's some generic brands out there. But drug companies advertise these products to treat ulcers, heartburn, indigestion, and acid reflux disease. Now, recently the FDA is requiring the drug companies to include warnings on the labels that long-term use of these drugs can cause magnesium deficiency. So how long does it take to become magnesium deficient on these type of drugs? As little as 3 months. And if taking magnesium supplements does not help, well, then you're going to be in big trouble. At least 25% of those that take magnesium supplements with their PPI drugs, they were not successful in reversing their depletion problem. The average ulcer patient takes their prescribed PPI drug for at least 6 months. Now, rather than change the lifestyle, you know, pill-popping therapy is preferred by the masses. And regardless, the FDA has approved these PPI drugs for the use in children with gastroesophageal reflux disease. So read your side effects on these drugs, which will also include what is known as rebound effect, which will be an increased risk in heartburn, indigestion, and reflux symptoms. So you're going to have worse problems than when you started on the drug. I want to read you a quote from Dr. Bruce West. He's the author of the Health Alert newsletter. He says this, quote, "Based on the way organized medicine attacks any alternative therapies, the mantra of American medicine has been and continues to be drugs for everything, and nothing but drugs for anything." And I do believe Dr. West is on target there. Now, I read you some drugs that are going to cause the magnesium depletion, but you know what? I just got the tip of the iceberg. There are more drugs, so hold on to your hat. Here we go, because the list of drugs that will strip the body of magnesium, they're varied, and it's a staggering list, folks. Okay, any of your broad-spectrum antibiotics, such as your streptomycin, or any antibiotic which is an amnioglycoside derivative drug, also your antifungal drugs, your diuretics, your non-steroidal estrogens, your cholesterol-lowering drugs, your corticosteroids, and your digitalis, like digoxin, your sodium injections, so if you're going for, you know, varicose vein treatments, hello. Also, drugs for edema of the heart, liver, kidneys, and lungs. Drugs for hypertension. Oral contraceptives. Rheumatoid arthritis drugs. Pneumonia drugs. Drugs for breast and prostate cancer. And drugs for urinary tract infections. So, goodness. Drugs everywhere can deplete you of magnesium. You know, they asked Mother Teresa, they asked her what she thought were the best qualities in a doctor. Do you know what she said? She said, quote, "humility and meekness." Well, I want to give a heads up to the diabetics out there, because a diabetic condition can also deplete your system of magnesium approximately 25% of diabetics have very low magnesium levels, and it doesn't matter if you have type 1, 2, 3, or the new type 4 diabetes. Also, you want to get the most out of your food sources. So to protect your health, you want to get the most out of the food sources that are going to contain the most magnesium. So processed foods have removed nearly 85% of the magnesium from the food source, so forget the processed foods. It's not going to help you. Alcohol abuse will also deplete magnesium from your body. And did you know that magnesium is a component in chlorophyll? So your chlorophyll-rich plants automatically going to cover the magnesium. The chlorophyll-rich plants are going to help protect you from magnesium deficiency. It's absorbed in the small intestine, and you're going to cover a majority of your bases if you just pump up the diet with the chlorophyll-rich plants. Also, chocolate lovers out there, they're going to like this. Chocolate contains magnesium. Medical Journal of the American Heart Association, they did a study on magnesium in chocolate, and they found that heart patients had measurable improvement in their blood flow, vascular function, and less clotting when they had chocolate. And you know what? This also explains why women who menstruate crave chocolate prior to their cycle. That prevents the blood clots, prevents the cramping, the discomfort from, you know, having their period. There you go. Magnesium. Okay, so what about these foods high in magnesium? Well, beef up the diet with magnesium-rich foods. Here's some of them. Rhubarb, oatmeal, turnip greens, tofu, spinach, sardines, pinto beans, great northern beans, figs, broccoli, beet greens, pumpkin seeds, and anchovies. Now, there are some herbs that are rich in magnesium. Those are oat straw, horsetail, comfrey, lobelia, willow bark, peppermint leaf, kelp, astragalus root, alfalfa, Siberian ginseng root, licorice root, and there's many more. If you would like a free full list of herbs that contain magnesium, you just contact the folks at Apothecary Herbs, and they'll send it to you free. Their toll-free number is 866-229-3663, or you can email your request on their website at thepowerherbs.com. But if you need some extra help, you know, because we can't always eat right, and who wouldn't love to just, you know, get a jump start on replenishing their body with magnesium, potassium, calcium, phosphorus, vitamin C? Now, you can do that fast. You can fast with concentrated organic foods that are easily absorbed and used by the body. And you know who knows about that? Folks at Apothecary Herbs. They have concentrated herb liquids and powdered mixes, no pills to swallow, nothing to digest, instantly absorbed. The nutrition is absorbed directly into the system, so you can feel the strength come back. You want to look for these formulas on their website or in their product catalog. The calcium formula, peppermint leaf formula, brain concentrate, Siberian ginseng, astragalus root, and their popular Body Foundation food mix. It has the alfalfa, the chlorophyll-rich greens, and the dulses in there. And you can put any of those formulas in juice or water. And they offer a money-back guarantee, and the products have a 10-year shelf life. So what could be better than that? Call for your free product catalog or to order. Toll-free is 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. That's where your healthcare options just became endless. Taking a break. We'll be back with more. Don't go anywhere.
Life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herb's Emotional Stress Formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Don't make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Talk Live. I'm herbalist Wendy Wilson. We're going to talk about how we can protect ourselves from strokes for a little bit here on Herb Talk. And during the break, my engineer and I are talking about our quack sound bites, what we're going to do about that. Hey, if you got suggestions, since you gave me feedback on the Quack Report, Phil, don't be shy. If you've got suggestions on Quacker sound bites, let us know what you think. Okay, well, talking about planning against strokes, because, you know, this day and age, we have to pretty much plan for everything. You got to, you know, be on your toes. You know, people plan a wedding. They plan family reunions. They plan for college and retirement. Hey, it won't be a stretch to plan against strokes here. But you know what? If you do it right, it's not going to seem like so much work. Now, if you are a numbers person and you know that the older you get, the odds of having a stroke kind of increase. So there is really nothing for sure in life except, you know, death and taxes. So let's see if we can't live a little longer without having any disabilitary type of strokes happen to us. So every 40 seconds, someone in the United States experiences a stroke, and it's the third leading cause of death. So we have about 150,000 deaths every year, and stroke affects more African Americans than Caucasians. So here's some of the statistics. 3/4 of all strokes happen to people younger than 65, and the risk of having a stroke after the age of 55 doubles every 10 years you're alive. So we have about 800,000 strokes happen in the U.S. every year, and of that, about 600,000 are the first-time stroke victim. Strokes create serious long-term disability, and it's estimated 87% of all the strokes are ischemic strokes, where clots tend to block the blood vessels in the brain or head region. About 10% of the strokes are stem from hemorrhages that rupture vessels in the brain called intracranial hemorrhages. And then you have the subarachnoid hemorrhage, which is a blood vessel that is just outside the brain in the area of the skull surrounding the brain. So there's quite a few there that can rupture, causes all kinds of grief. And basically, blood vessels rupture and accounts for about 3% of the stroke cases. So let's see if you're at risk. More women than men will have strokes. However, men have more strokes than women at younger ages. So if you smoke, you create more blood clots in the brain region, and you run the risk of suffering an ischemic stroke, and that risk doubles. If you develop arterial fibrillation, known as AF, you have an abnormal heart rhythm, which produces blood clots and brings in a fivefold increased risk of having a stroke. And about 15% of all strokes are caused by the afibrillation, arterial fib, and a most common risk factor basically is the high blood pressure. Now, you can go to the CDC and the American Heart Association. They have all kinds of factors there you can read about, you know, stroke and this and that. Other factors which increase your likelihood of stroke are going to be various kinds of heart disease, diabetes, high cholesterol, obesity, sedentary lifestyle, alcoholism, and drug use. So it's interesting, though, when you look at some of these stats across the nation here on stroke, certain areas of the country more prone to stroke than others. Where you live right now can affect whether you have a higher stroke risk. There is a section in the country called the Stroke Belt. It is an area that encompasses the southern U.S. and the Mississippi Valley. There appears to be higher stroke mortality rates in this Stroke Belt. States with fewer strokes and stroke deaths are New Mexico, Arizona, Nebraska, North and South Dakota, Kansas, and Montana. The rest of the U.S. is between Stroke Central and the Stroke Belt. So basically, your risk is higher. Looking at the global picture for stroke, globally, how does the world look? Well, the World Health Organization reports 15 million worldwide will suffer from strokes every year. Of that, 5 million are going to die. Europe has about 650,000 stroke deaths. The remaining stroke survivors will suffer from disabilities. You can check that out at the World Health Report. The World Health Organization of American Heart Association all have those stats there. So what are the warning signs? Yeah, let's get to the meat of it here. What will just, you know, kind of give you a heads up? Most common sign of stroke is a sudden weakness in the face, the arm, the leg on one side of the body. The warning signs are going to depend on which side of the brain is being affected and the severity of the brain damage by the stroke. So the stroke can be associated with a sudden headache, or it can be completely painless. So other signs indicate that there's a stroke can be fatigue, inability to stand up, dizziness, that kind of thing. So you want to plan against these things and get acclimated against that. So you can do so by definitely changing your diet. People in the Mediterranean area have almost no strokes, no cancer, no diabetes, no heart disease. So lots of omega-3 fatty acids are in the diet of the Mediterranean folk, so you can check that out. Lots of cookbooks out there. Go pick some up at the bookstore. Learn how to cook a lot of easy, quick dishes. They're not that complicated. A lot of olive oil and fruits and vegetables. They're not real big on the amount of meat that they eat. They kind of limit that meat portion. Americans need to learn to do that. But if you counter the diet and get rid of the really bad fat foods, you know, the snacks and stuff, and you use some healthy fats like in olives and olive oil and fish and salmon and things like that and sardines, you can switch and get these healthy fats in the system that counteract the bad fats and reduce your risk of clots and strokes. So you have power. It's all diet related mostly. If you do have a genetic area that needs a little TLC, you can use some circulatory herbs to power you up, to balance the fats, the cholesterol, to help you out. I like to use motherwort herb to strengthen the heartbeat so you don't have that AFib. I like to use cayenne and ginger root for total circulation from head to foot to help balance that circulation. I like to use red clover and garlic to thin the blood and detox it of fats. So there's a lot you can do out there with diet and nutritional sources. So check out the powerherbs.com website. They do have the heart cholesterol blood pressure formula. You might want to check that out and change that lifestyle and get healthy out there. Well, I want to shift gears and I want to talk about some plant power. Lots of changes being made, as you know, in the health field, you know, with the new administration there in Washington. But you know what? 80% of the people on the planet are using herbal remedies, natural therapies. And, you know, I think the medical industry, modern science, the pharmaceutical companies definitely taken notice, so they're kind of, you know, doing things to take care of that. They're doing legislative things. To take care of that, to take the power out of our hands that we could be healthy, to grow our own foods, to drink raw milk if we want, to build the guitars out of wood from Madagascar, you know, being free. So basically they're doing some things on Capitol Hill to change all that. But you know what, herbalists and nutritionalists have been saying for hundreds of years that there's effectiveness, there's a concentration of nutrition in medicinal herbs to help the body get over an issue, to strengthen it so the body can rebalance the system. Many allopathic doctors are pretty much coming out and saying that herbal therapies really do work. I want to read you this one quote from Dr. Max Mitchell, Jr., and Dr. Mark Barrow, Journal of the Florida Medical Association, August 1967. They said this: "The thought that most of the remedies of the past are without scientific foundation is being disproved. That there are medicinal elements of some compounds in many of the folk remedies which have appropriate pharmaceutical effects." They're finding that out. So, you know, but they can't patent what God made. They can't steal God's copyright. So that's why it's suppressed and poo-pooed if they can't make a ton of money on it. There's some more discoveries out there. I find it real refreshing to see some areas of modern medicine taking a lesson from some of the folk medicine, the old-timey stuff. It's inevitable, though, that science would have to yield to the power of God's plants. And more people are turning to herbal therapies because they produce very few, if any, side effects, and they are less expensive than the drugs. Though the American Medical Association may soon follow Germany's lead, where the Ministry of Health there has a separate commission exclusively dealing with herbal medicine. Since 1993, the German doctors study herbal medicine in medical school, and they have to actually pass an exam on natural medicines before obtaining their license to practice medicine. This could come as really no surprise because, after all, the word drug comes from an early German word, droge, which means to dry, and it was used to dry herbs in barrels and things like that. So the European physician community and other health professionals and researchers have unified their efforts, and they have formed the European Scientific Cooperative for Phototherapy. Phototherapy refers to the chemicals in plants which perform a change in the body. So they're actually publishing information on these herbs, and they're using it in clinical settings and clinical medicine over in Europe. And they're also offering it to people for self-medication purposes. So this information is going to be basically included in the next European pharmacopoeia that they put out, which no doubt will be used in their regulation of herbs in the European Union. So they may tighten down the hatches and regulate that a little bit more tightly. You can find some plant power in some really strange places. Products can be made from a number of herb elements: the bark of trees, berries, roots, gums, resins, seeds, stems, flowers, you name it. And you may not know, the original soft drink was originally made from an herbal medicine. The example, root beer, was originally made from sassafras root. And our everyday coffee and tea was first used as a decongestant type of remedy, right? And now you can't get through your day, right, without a coffee or a tea. Well, parsley, which is an entree garnish on most of your fancy plates there at restaurants, was first used as a breath freshener because of the chlorophyll in the plant. Later, it was used as a commercial ingredient in breath candies and mints. And then mint herb and ginger root were used as digestive aids to settle the stomach. And this is where you get your after-dinner mint and your ginger ale. This is where you get it from. And the plant compound of the pseudoephrinephrine, which is the over-the-counter cold remedies, made from an herb called Meng Hung Jin. For 5,000 years, it was a decongestant, and you'll find that in your Sudafed. Yeah. Okay, so why are plants so powerful? Well, this is a good question. God refers to his herbs as meat. All you have to do is open the Bible in Genesis chapter 1, verses 29 and 30. Why does God call herbs meat? Doesn't he know it's a plant? Well, of course he does. And it could be that every element in living plants can be found in the human body. We know that the nutrients and trace elements that are within the cellular structure of the herbs are easily metabolized by our gastric juices, enzymes, and hormones. So the healing action comes from the alkaloids and the nitrogenous compounds, which cause a specific chemical reaction in the body. So herbs were going to contain vitamins, minerals, salts, and also help the human body to resist disease, strengthen the tissue, and also strengthen the nervous system. So God's herbs also contain glucosides, which are sugars, specifically to assist heart function and to help the blood carry more nutrition and oxygen through the body. Now, in the first segment of the show, we just talked about some of the drugs that strip the body of magnesium, and a lot of them were the heart drugs that they made, that the pharmaceuticals made out of glucosides. Okay? So they, of course, do their little thing in the lab, and they adulterate what God made so great. So these are some of the reasons the medical journals are including a bit more research studies on herbs and their healing benefits, despite the fact physicians present herbs usually in a negative light to their patients, or they just don't know enough about them, or they're scaring them. You know, it's just not going to work well with your prescription drugs, which they won't. But personally, I don't think scientific medicine is going to really discover all the reasons why God's herbs work so well, because, you know, God is a mystery. He likes to keep some knowledge to himself. And some of the herb research which medicine finds beneficial include herbs like feverfew for migraines, ginger for nausea, garlic for cholesterol, comfrey root for healing wounds, licorice for ulcers, and periwinkle for leukemia. So they've acknowledged those herbs for those conditions. And it's basically because of the overwhelming research that's happening in other countries. So some experts propose that herbs by themselves are a little too bitter, making them impossible for people to take because of the taste. I find this pretty absurd. Many companies produce herb products, and they'll adulterate the compounds with flavorings, filters, they'll water down the formula, which accounts for why so many people get poor results and think herbs don't work. But beware not to mix your herbal supplements with your prescribed medicines, as they interfere with one another. For instance, if you're taking MOA inhibitors, you want to avoid St. John's wort, licorice root, passion flower. These herbs will have some adverse reactions with your drug. Also, if you suffer from moderate to severe hay fever, allergies, or asthma, you may want to research your herbs first and ask some knowledgeable questions about them before you use them. Some allergy alerts would be tree barks, roots, and grasses like wheat and alfalfa grass, especially if they're mixed with bee pollens or pharmaceutical drugs, you may have an allergic reaction. So check out the book, The Power Herbs. 13 herbs every medicine cabinet should have. And these are 13 herbs that won't get you into too much trouble, even if you are taking some over-the-counter medicines and so forth. But it'll get your feet wet as to how you can use herbs to strengthen the body, get familiar, get more confident. It's a PDF download. It's 400 pages. It has an herb symptom reference guide, and it's $14.99. You can find that download at thepowerherbs.com. And it's called The Power Herbs Book, and you will be amazed how powerful you can be with just a little bit of knowledge on just 13 herbs. Well, I got a few minutes now, and I want to shift gears and talk about something that, you know, bothers a few people in my family tree. It's called spastic colon, and it's probably because of the way you're eating. I've known people that in college, you know, they had that spastic colon because they ate at the canteen. They ate at the campus cafeteria. Who would want to eat there? Basically, you know, get mom and dad to send you some extra money, go down to the grocery store and buy you some food and a little, you know, campus refrigerator, and make some foods that are not going to give you spastic colon. It's estimated 30% of the adult U.S. population has received a diagnosis that they have spastic colon. And the condition affects both men and women. However, females outnumber the males. And we've been led to believe that spastic colon is a 20th century term for colitis. However, Dr. Marvin Schulster, a gastroenterologist at Johns Hopkins Medical Center in Baltimore, says that colitis means that the colon is inflamed and irritable bowel syndrome does not cause inflammation. And the more accurate medical term for spastic colon, he says, is motor disorder manifesting irritability involving the gut. I know it's kind of a long term, but irritable bowel syndrome would be another name to describe spastic colon because there is a motor disorder involved. So there is a disagreement in the medical profession about what the cause is for spastic colon or irritable bowel syndrome, but some physicians feel that it's maybe psychosomatic, that it's all in your head, because they can't find any physical cause. Well, spastic colon involves strong and frequent symptoms of diarrhea, constipation, pain, and cramping. Science tells us that these symptoms are influenced by diet and stress, and physicians say spastic colon does not increase your risk of colon cancer or other digestive diseases. However, I disagree. Any imbalance or blockage in the body is going to create a weakness and nutritional depletion, creating a window of opportunity for secondary disease to creep in. Dr. Marcelo Vario, gastrointestinal expert, says that the intestine has its own separate nervous motor system, and it reacts to gas, depression, foods, stress. So your brain does not really have full control of your gut. And you have a network of nerve cells inside the gut wall, independent from the brain for function. So when the brain reacts to stress, it sends a confusing signal to the digestive system, causing nerve irritability and to the gut. So the brain and the gut kind of get out of sync, and it causes a spasm and other symptoms. And some physicians, such as Dr. Douglas Drossman, University of North Carolina, he's in Chapel Hill, he says that stress does not really cause irritable bowel syndrome, but simply aggravates the condition. And modern medicine tries to reduce symptoms with medications, but really doesn't have a cure for the condition. So we got to get at the cause. We got to troubleshoot this. And physicians recommend changing eating habits. Eat healthier, eat smaller, eat more frequent meals, and manage the stress better. Research from Great Britain, they suggest that the condition may be the result of food combinations the body doesn't like. Many health experts feel a majority of the spastic colon is from several food groups like milk, fried food, fatty foods, and chocolate, which contains milk. Italian physicians studied hospital patients with spastic colon, and they found that 74% were milk intolerant. And putting the patients on a milk-free lifestyle resolved their condition. And those patients who returned to milk into the diet had recurrent bouts of spastic colon. Other causes seem to point to dietetic sweeteners or the sorbitol, and you'll find this ingredient in chewing gum, jam, mints, and a slew of other products. The New York Medical College in Valhalla did some research on sorbitol, and it was a trigger for irritable bowel syndrome or spastic colon. The results suggested the sorbitol was a common culprit, and it is not identified by most physicians as a trigger. Removing many of the food triggers can negate the need for time-consuming and expensive diagnostic tests and drugs. They also discovered that the natural sugar fructose by itself or mixed with sorbitol can produce similar symptoms in some people. So this means foods like your peaches, your apple juice, your pears, your plums, your prunes, your gum, jam, chocolate, going to be off limits. And according to the British research, coffee can also be a problem for about 30% of those who have these gastric compulsive contractions, spastic colon, irritable bowel syndrome, whatever you want to call it. So you might want to, you know, veer shy of all that stuff. But there is a way. With your dietary change, Mediterranean diet, and also, you know, herbs to soothe the colon, marshmallow root, slippery elm. If you get a little gas or bloating, a little fennel seed is awesome. Also, peppermint is for stomach ache, great. Of course, ginger root for nausea, awesome. And you can do this. You have that power. You have those tools handy. You have that knowledge to change and do something about it. Otherwise, you know, you're going to be a patient for life and not be happy camper. So check out thepowerherbs.com. They have fennel seed. They have ginger root, peppermint. They have a digestive kit, for crying out loud. Check it all out there. If you get a little, you know, diarrhea, add the slippery elm, inner bark, and you'll just be amazed how powerful you can be. Hey, they're one of the 13 herbs. They're part of the 13 herbs that every medicine cabinet should have. So check it all out at thepowerherbs.com or call for your free product catalog at 866-229-3663, but if you're outside the U.S., dial 803-746-0219. Of course, the website, thepowerherbs.com. And don't forget, Dr. Crawley is going to be here on the 20th, and then in October, we're going to have Shane Ellison on the 6th. I'm out of time, but don't you go anywhere, because Covenant Call with Pastor Mike Hoover is coming up next. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease, so seek medical advice if you dare before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, I wish you all to be well.